Want to gain an edge in international markets with foreign currency exchange? At Associated Bank, we've got you. We can assist you in obtaining or converting foreign currency and managing the exchange risk to your advantage. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
Run with Dan Barron, Senior Vice President in Commercial Real Estate at Associated Bank. Dan, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
I'm going to focus our conversation in on a mix of outlooks that we're seeing for commercial office space in the Chicago area. We see one report that says demand is down, another that says it's gone up a little bit. What's at play here? Are we still dealing with the remote work trend?
Yeah, Steve, we're definitely still dealing with remote work, and I think we're going to be for quite some time. I think what we're looking at here is and what's a pretty common occurrence in downturns is a flight to quality, right? People want to, our tenants, employers want to go to buildings that are kind of the class A assets, and they're avoiding kind of the class B and C assets that really aren't as desirable. You know, those class B and C properties, you know, they really all have always, and historically speaking, have always had their place in the market, right? There's always going to be a need for more inexpensive office space. Unfortunately, now with remote work, there isn't that demand because you can get Class A space on a sublease for substantially lower rent than what you traditionally get for a Class A building. You know, what we've talked about in the past is a whole bunch is these Class B buildings, Class C buildings need to be repurposed somehow. But, you know, they've never had you know, downtown central business districts have never had the prospect of having to repurpose an office building. We've talked about this a lot historically. You know, what are we going to do with all this old office building, all these old office buildings? So that kind of remains to be seen, especially with the new administration recently coming out saying, you know, they may be allocating less TIF funds to the, I think it was the, you know, update LaSalle Street, program that Mayor Lightfoot put in previously, but it remains to be seen what's going to happen with these with the lower quality buildings. But I think new buildings in well located areas, you know, at least in Chicago, you know, I'd say around the train stations in the West Loop, Fulton Market, those places are still driving demand. They're still signing leases, and those leases are still for a pretty attractive rent. So I think it's going to be the haves and the have-nots going forward for the office market. We're going to have to see what's going to happen with, you know, office demand and what's going to happen with the extra office space that's essentially, let's call it, obsolete at this point. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the older obsolete buildings.
The downtown office vacancy rate reached 23.7 last quarter, up from 22.6% mid-year. That's the 10th time in the past 12 quarters that vacancy rates have hit a new high. Is there something else going on here in terms of the situation with interest rates, the situation with money being available?
Well, I think there's always a correlation between the two. Unfortunately, I think we're going to continue to see the vacancy rate continue to reach record highs for each of the next successive quarters. I think there's a couple of reasons. You know, interest rates have to do with it. Liquidity has to do with it. Because if you're an office building owner and you have a maturity coming up, let's say your building is even fairly, you know, decently occupied. Let's call it 85 to 90% occupied. With the increase in interest rates, the loan that you're rolling off of, let's call it, most, you know, downtown office buildings are probably on 10-year loans. So your interest rate from 2013 was substantially lower than it's going to be right now. The major problem is, you know, if that's the instance, then some people would say, all right, I'm not going to refinance this loan. I'm just going to sell this building. But with the lack of liquidity that's currently in the market for office buildings, the building owners are going to be stuck. They're not going to be able to sell. And if they're going to refinance, it's going to be a lot tighter to refinance because of the higher interest rates. And hopefully, you know, they're able to have the cash on hand, because, you know, a lot of these loans are going to then need to be either resized, meaning the borrower or the owner is going to have to come in with fresh equity to pay down the balance of the debt. Because with the office market facing what it's facing right now, is those the buildings aren't going to be worth what the owner may think it's worth. So there could be loan to value issues, and that's, you know, in my opinion, in a good scenario when you have a building has a pretty strong occupancy. I don't know what's going to happen with the buildings that are, you know, half empty, that are certainly not covering the debt service for the lower interest rate mortgage they have right now. And when that loan matures, I mean, who knows? Maybe there's a lot of owners handing keys back to lenders. You know, a lot of those loans that are on downtown office properties are usually commercial mortgage-backed securities, CMBS loans. Those are non-recourse. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the office market. And I know we've been saying this for a long time, Steve. I mean, it's October of 23. We've been talking about this since the pandemic hit in 2020. So it's still uncertainty, but, you know, it's really a waiting game until these loans come to maturity. That's when, you know, decisions need to be made. And in some cases, they're going to be very difficult decisions.
Talk to us a little bit about commercial real estate prices generally, not only in the city, but at the suburbs, and how it compares to the national average.
I'm not overly familiar with national prices. Obviously, my kind of world is concentrated in the Midwest, where, you know, our bank lends. But I can tell you that values are difficult to really predict right now, and prices cap rates aren't as readily available because there isn't as much liquidity in the market. I've had a handful of customers tell me, you know, they traditionally, you know, these are merchant builders, meaning they'll build a building and sell it once it's stabilized, once the tenant's in occupancy. That's becoming increasingly difficult because the illiquidity in the market, there isn't, you know, the readily available buyer out there right now. And if there is a buyer out there, they're looking for a discount, right? They want to pay 80 cents on a dollar, 90 cents on a dollar. And they're offering, you know, a cap rate that's maybe 100 basis points higher than what they would have offered in the normal market. So it's kind of forcing certain owners, developers to hold these assets longer. So that's why it's hard to tell. You know, multifamily is still trading very well. It's a little bit of a discount compared to, let's call it, in some instances, replacement costs. You know, whereas an apartment developer can build a Class A apartment building for $300,000 a door. You know, maybe they're selling for $280 a door. But, you know, if multifamily is a pretty stable asset class, there isn't the distress, you know, needed to sell right now. So, you know, multifamily has seen moderate rent increases. So I think they've been able to keep pace with the increase in interest rates. So if you're a multifamily owner and you don't have to sell, you're probably not going to sell because you don't want to take a haircut on what you think your building's worth. Similar with retail. I mean, obviously strong retail strip centers or neighborhood centers with credit tenants, they're going to be okay. They're going to wait until cap rates normalize and they're able to get out for a sale price that is similar to what they expected when they developed the building. So office is going to be the question mark. It's been the question mark for 3 years. Industrial, rent increases in industrial have been beyond what I've seen in my over 20 years of lending. You know, usually you have East and West Coast properties seeing double-digit rent increases, and now we're finally seeing it in the Midwest. And so those rent increases have been able to insulate industrial, so industrial is still trading, but we're not seeing the mid-3 cap rates like we were in, call it, 2020 and 2021. But, you know, those cap rates are fairly stable. It's just not a lot of liquidity out there, so there's not a lot of data points to show what buildings are trading for right now. And I think a lot of people, like I said, are kind of holding on to their assets instead of kind of dropping them in a fire sale when they really don't need to.
Yeah. In the cases where there have been foreclosures or landlords have been surrendering their assets, those are two of the possible impacts. We've seen a few of those happen already. We've also seen a number of downsizes as well, companies announcing that they're moving to smaller headquarters. And is there a possibility that when that happens, we're also going to see employee layoffs?
You know, that I think that's part of what the Fed wants. The Fed wants to see some employee layoffs. That's when they'll know that you know, their increase in interest rates is starting to take effect. I don't think so, Steve. I think with the trend in remote work, people are starting to become companies are starting to become efficient, where they're able to work with smaller office footprints with the same amount of headcount. They don't need, let's say, a law firm, for instance, they won't need 200,000 square feet when they can have their support staff work remotely and have their attorneys and paralegals maybe be in the office. And so they can shed some space. They can downsize from their 200,000 square foot footprint to maybe 125,000. So now they're realizing that cost savings by not paying the rent per square foot for that extra 75,000 square feet, and they become more profitable. The support staff is able to work remote, still the same headcount. And, you know, the unfortunate person holding the bag in this instance is the office building that needs to backfill that extra 75,000 square feet. So I don't think there's layoffs. I think the economy is moving along nicely enough, but eventually the Fed, in my opinion, is going to need to see some kind of blood in the streets, some kind of layoffs, some kind of indication that interest rates are interest rate increases are having their effect in slowing down the economy.
All right, Dan, thanks. Good conversation as always. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Absolutely, Steve. My email, daniel.barons@associatedbank.com, or always reach me on my office phone, 312-544-4657.
Thanks, Dan. We'll talk to you next time.
Sounds great. Thanks, Steve.